Talk Back is brought to you by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Experience the luxury. It's Talk Back, Central Louisiana's longest-running talk show. Whether it's the hosts or the callers, Talk Back is where Central Louisiana connects and begins its conversation.
Welcome back. Sandra McQueen here with Nathan Martin for Hour 2 of Talk Back. And joining us in the studio is Pineville City Councilman Tom Boucher. Tom, welcome.
Good morning, Sandra. Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Yes, and I know you're somewhat a familiar face to a lot of Louisianans, especially I think as Nathan was sharing, you were on Jam at one time. But some of us that have only been here maybe 10 years or less may not be familiar with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been on the council.
I've been on the council now for, my sixth term, first elected in 2002, so 22 years on the council currently. I actually grew up in Alexandria, moved here 52 years ago. Actually, 54 now. I'll be 60 next month.
Yeah.
So I was 6 years old when we moved here, right down the street on off of Texas Avenue on Sanders Street, went to Cabrini. Only one of my five boys that went to Menard, you know, because I grew up here. When we moved here, my four brothers were at Bolton, came back and after our first child was born and moved back here and took a job at KLAX doing sports with Bill Bush. Spent about 2.5 years there, and when Scott Bishop moved to Jambalaya in the mornings, I took his spot in the sports department with Mark Hamlin, and worked in sports there for several years. And then when Scott left, I moved to Jambalaya to have more family time for our son Chase, and then Katie came along. So two kids. We moved to Pineville. We bought our first house. Never thought I'd live in Pineville, but now I don't think I'd ever move out. You know. And to live anywhere around central Louisiana other than in the city. Just decided, you know, I spent a lot of time in student council and involved, and always thought I wanted to serve in some capacity, and got a chance to do that. The citizens of Pineville elected me. I actually ran against Nathan's brother.
Yeah.
So Andre Martin.
A little piece of trivia there.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that was got to be one of the most good-natured campaigns we've ever seen, because you guys both just promoted yourselves and nobody bashed each other. You just kind of gave your thoughts, and obviously you came out the victor and received the congratulations. There was one funny. I got to tell this one funny one though. There was one yard that had both of y'all signs up. And so I don't know if you were doing it, but Andre would go and put his sign in front of yours, and then somebody would go and put your sign in front of his. And, you know, it was just kind of like a running funny. It wasn't really truly blocking. It was just moving, you know, playing dancing signs. But, yeah, since 2002.
Yeah, so, I was excited about that and honored from the citizens in District 4 to elect a non-citizen of Pineville in terms of from being born and raised in Pineville. And I've just tried to do my best for not only District 4. My belief has always been, if it's good for District 1, it's good for District 4. If it's good for District 2, 3, or 5, it's good for all of our districts. You know, and so it's all about the city, but also looking out for the folks in District 4 as well.
Fantastic. Well, yeah. Do you guys want to dive into your agenda a little
bit?
We
do. We wanted to talk about, of course, the mayor couldn't be here because of the training that has gotten compressed, and he'll be back for tonight's meeting. But the agenda for tonight is the really a lot of condemnations. And, Tom, you've been really instrumental in beautification for the city of Pineville. We have cleaned up a lot of blighted properties over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, we have. It's one of the kind of things that happens that maybe people don't pay attention to or don't notice, except maybe if you live in the on the street or in the area and you drive by and go, hey, where'd that house go? It's something that we have been fighting for. I think it really, you know, talking with Mayor Fields, going all the way back to Mayor Fields and trying to clean up the blight. In the past, we didn't have a whole lot of money to be able to do it. Normally took anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 or so to tear down a house. And maybe we could do five a year, you know, if we had the money to be able to do it. And then a couple of years ago, we got a $245,000 grant and took down well over 20 homes. What was it, 22, 23 homes, somewhere in that area. And then that was part of a part. We were a pilot project on that, and then it went so well. We actually got more money as we were doing it because other cities didn't take down as many, and we were able to take down a few more. And then we got a grant again this year, and we've been going around and taking down the homes. And the condemnation process needs to happen for a lot of areas, and it's in every district that we're looking and pulling down homes. And fortunately, we've got some homeowners who are actually going in and doing it themselves as we go through the condemnation process. And it's just a matter of us bringing it to their attention. Maybe they forgot about the house. I don't know. But once they're called out on it, you know, they've said, okay, well, we'll take care of it, and they'll take it down. So we've been able to get even more taken down outside of us spending the money to pull it down.
And we've had a couple of homeowners who have gone in and invested to try to remediate. If the property was kind of like on the edge, and, you know, I'm thinking of a couple right now that have come up, and we've given them extensions because they've made investments, and they're trying to get it. You know, right.
The new owners that came in and bought the property and then started to rebuild but didn't realize they were within the condemnation process.
Right.
And in that regard, they came in front at the time. We've listened to them. We've said, okay, look, you've put so much money into it. It would be wrong for us to go through with the condemnation process the way it is. So in one case, we actually withdrew the condemnation because they're doing such a good job on the property. And that's what this is all about. You know, I mean, if you can take a blighted property, put it back into commerce and get another citizen moving into the city of Pineville, even though they may not pay property tax, the property owner now pays property tax who's done the renovation. But we've got a renter in that house now, and they're buying in the city of Pineville. And the improvements that we've seen over the years and even over the last couple of years, with new businesses moving in, and we're seeing so much more shopping done in the city that has increased our tax dollars, and it's allowing us to do more and more for the citizens.
You kind of picked up Councilman Jack Wainwright's mantra of Shop Pineville, and oftentimes you were reminding people at council meetings, please shop Pineville, keep your tax dollars at home. You know, the condemnation process is very deliberative. It's a very it's lengthy. It's tedious. The paperwork that goes into it is tremendous. Chris Workman, our clerk, does, I think, a phenomenal job presenting to us, along with Marty Fletcher, the code enforcement officer,
Kenny Andrews,
who's the building official inspector, and even the Pan American Engineers, who gets an eye on it as well. And there are several check marks. So if something comes to the city council, it's well documented, the condition. We get to see the pictures. We get to see the, and most of us will drive around and look at them as well.
Yeah, you talk about that. I mean, the job, you mentioned it, Chris Workman does not get enough praise.
Right.
You know, all of our city employees are doing a phenomenal job. And I'm sure many of them are out there preparing for Francine and being ready for those folks, not to get off track. But the way Chris puts a packet together for every item of our agenda is phenomenal. And the condemnations, I remember a time when we had to look at pictures. Tom would have to bring them up to show us the pictures. Now we have them on our we have iPads now we can look at, but we've got them on our phone now that we can run through and look at them prior to the meeting and just see what type of shape and how dilapidated these properties are.
Fantastic. Well, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Well, I don't live in either one of the two cities, but I want to tell you something. I commend you for doing that. It's just another example how much forward-thinking Pineville is rather than Alexandria. It's just, so I think it's a wonderful thing. You could probably condemn half the houses in Alexandria, but that'll never happen. So take care. Buckle down. Bye.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, we were very fortunate to get that grant that allowed us. One of the interesting things about the grant was it allowed us to, because it was a grant, to condemn the house, tear down the house, clear the property without putting a lien on the property. And that's a huge deal because then that property is back in commerce. Whereas otherwise, the traditional way, we tear down the house, then we put a $5,000 or $10,000 lien on the property, and you've got a small piece of property, perhaps in a area that doesn't have a high volume of sales. You're a real estate agent, also now I should say that. And so it's hard to sell a property for $20,000 that's got a $10,000 lien on it. You know, or you probably can't even get $20,000 for the property. But this way, the lien is removed. Somebody could buy that lot for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, put a small home, a tiny home on it, and put it back into commerce. So we're so grateful to have that access to that grant.
Yeah, and you know, and again, speaking to that, Nathan, you know, many of the family members, you know, in many cases it's an inherited property.
That's true.
And so those are even difficult to get to the closing table because of multiple signatures needed, and family members may be dispersed all over the country, and in many of the cases they don't have enough money to be able to get a lawyer to put one person as power of attorney to be able to sign for everything. And so they got to track everybody down. So the property goes into, you know, a dilapidated state, and they just give up. Mm-hmm. And so the property just sits there. And with all of those signatures needed, they don't have enough money to tear it down. They don't have enough money to pay the lien. And like you said, that makes it a little bit more difficult for somebody to purchase. They may do it in a sheriff's auction sale, and they got to pay the taxes for, you know, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then after that third year, they can take ownership of it. Then they got to pay the lien off, and then they can put it into commerce. And so you're looking at maybe a four more year process before anything happens. And the property's still sitting there,
right.
You know, and then it becomes a danger to any children in the area because, you know, I mean, I was a kid, you know, I know that we walked into, you know, dilapidated houses and not thinking about boards or whole floors that could cave in on you, a roof, and you'd be trapped and nobody would know where you are, you know, so yeah. Dangerous situations or, you know, somebody who may be homeless and going in there and then the next thing you know, you got a fire going on in the property, and now you've endangered the houses that are next door or behind it. You know, so this is something that I think been long needed, and I'm really glad that we're able to do it. And these processes that we have going on, not only in old business to actually finish the condemnation mm-hmm. process, but the new business, the number, it's a matter of us putting the list together to be able to turn it in, because all the properties, we have a deadline that we have to meet in order to have a certain number of properties on the list so that we can go down and start tearing them down and using the money to be able to do it.
All right, well, we're going to take our first break. We'll be back with Tom Boucher and Nathan Martin right after this.
Taking part in Talk Back could not be any easier. Call the BOM Bank Talk Line at 442-8255. That's 442-TALK.
Are you looking for a rewarding career in commercial construction? DeArchin Construction is hiring superintendents to join their team. You'll be responsible for overseeing all aspects of construction, from budgeting and scheduling to quality control and safety. At least 5 years of experience in commercial construction is required. We offer a starting salary of $80,000 plus bonuses. Call 318-787-6049. DeArchin Construction, the leading commercial construction company in Senla.
Senla Pregnancy Center's 6th Annual Gift of Life Fundraising Banquet is Tuesday, September 17th, 6:30 p.m. at the Randolph Riverfront Center in Alexandria. Join us for a beautiful evening with local entertainment, dinner prepared by some of the best local restaurant owners, a story of life by one of our own clients. Plus, international speaker Toni McFadden will share her gift of life story following her unplanned pregnancy as a teenager. Purchase tickets today or reserve a table at senlawpc.com. Find us on Facebook for more details. The 6th Annual Gift of Life Fundraising Banquet, September 17th.
Blended families, bonus children, and co-parenting can bring amazing experiences, but it can also be overwhelming and complicate your estate plan. How can families navigate the process when entering into this wonderful journey? I'm George Fine with Fine Legal Services. When it comes to your family's questions, our team can make planning for the future seamless and transparent. Call your Alexandria, Louisiana attorneys, George Fine and Jeremy Cedars, at 318-767-2226 to learn more, or visit fine-lawyers.com.
LSBA number LA2316294.
It's like a match made in heaven. Louisiana rice and Louisiana crawfish. And man, oh man, do they go together. Think crawfish and rice stir fry, crawfish and rice casserole, our world famous etouffee. Simple Louisiana ingredients. Rice and crawfish. Cajun, Creole, baked, fried, boiled, however you like. Just start with rice and give those little mud bugs some spicy Louisiana love. The proud farmers of certified Louisiana rice invite you to visit startwithrice.com for recipes. Brought to you by the proud farmers of certified Louisiana rice.
Oh man, it's hot. Blazing hot. And more hot weather is on the way. But here's the good news. You can still get an in-ground pool from A1 Pools installed in time to use your new pool this year. Call A1 Pools now and get some relief from the heat. It's never too late for an in-ground pool from A1 Pools. Plus, financing is available. Call A1 Pools today, 318-449-2093. Get a free estimate today at 318-449-2093. A1 Pools.
Freedom from drug addiction happens in NA meetings. It is possible to stop using drugs, and they can help. Call Narcotics Anonymous at 1-585-DON'T-USE or visit their website at larna.org for more information. Talkback is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. There's nothing quite like the unparalleled quality and style with Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Now let's get back to Talkback on KSYO, 970 AM, 104.9 FM, and 100.3 HD3.
Whoops, stab that button again. And we're back. Senator McQueen, Nathan Martin joining us in the studio. Poundville City Councilman Tom Boucher and Chief of Police Daryl Basco. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning.
Good. Well, now, before we bring you into the conversation, I know you also wanted to offer some thoughts on condemnation. I did want to ask our two councilmen to talk a little bit about the public comment process at the meeting tonight. You know, there's been expectation that you may have a larger crowd than normal. So thought it was really important that we walk folks through how does that process work? How can they express their opinions at the council? Is there time limits? Do you have to sign in? So, Nathan, Tom, I don't know who wants to take the lead, but I thought it was really important we put that out there this morning.
Definitely a great question. You know, state law requires that public comment be received on every agenda item that's and the comments need to be germane to the item. So if we're talking about a condemnation hearing, or if you're talking about a resolution to approve substantially complete a contract or whatever, if you have a comment about that, you're free to come up during the when the mayor will ask for is there any public comment. And then at the end of the meeting, there is a public comment section where citizens can speak. They have to come to the microphone, identify themselves, give their address, and share their comments. And they're limited to 3 minutes. And so that's how the process has worked the years that I've been on and you've been on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's something that Clarence, it started that I remember with Clarence, you know,
yeah,
in the last 22 years. It's not just for tonight. I mean, we've been doing it for since I've been on the council back, well, maybe a couple of years after being on the council. It's about 3 minutes, you know, per comment. That's allowed. And one of the things on each of the agenda items, the comments are made prior to a vote.
Correct.
You know, so if there's any issue that we have a chance to listen to it, take that under advisement before we end up making our vote.
Right. For the listeners who, you know, are tuning in and wondering where Mayor Dupree is, he's attending the Louisiana Public Employees Retirement System mandatory training because he's a member of one of those retirement boards. And he is a mandated training that started on Sunday, ends today. They moved their training sessions up earlier in the day so that all of those officials can get back to their hometown. So he will be driving back in from New Orleans this afternoon to attend the meeting tonight. But grateful to have Tom Boucher here this morning, and also Chief Daryl Basco, longtime police officer. I don't know how many years, many years. He's got enough gray hair to show it's a few. this is radio. Funny. I'm sorry.
Been with the police department since I've been on the council and prior to that as well.
Been a while. 29 years. Mm. I actually come off a drop in October, and we'll go back into the regular retirement system.
That's just a little scary. Anytime you hear anybody talking about coming off drop, because you're like, oh, that means he might be. But there's no speculation.
No
right?
speculation.
Okay.
A lot of people heard that, and they're like, oh, he's fixing to leave. There's no plans of leaving anything. I think
just taking advantage of that little piece of the retirement system.
Right. Taking advantage of a benefit of our great retirement system, and no plan of leaving. Still got a lot of gas in the tank left. Some good things to do.
I hope so, because you've been doing a fantastic job as police chief and keeping us informed of everything that that you're doing, installing new ways of policing and new concepts and ideas, and then also bringing in the new North Rapids
Crime Stoppers.
We've
done that. I want to go back and make a comment, though, about the condemnation process. You know, there's a policing theory called broken windows that's been around since probably, 25, 30 years. And that's one of the things when I was had the opportunity to become police chief that I had the conversation with Mayor Dupree about, was doing some condemnations and exercising that. And the idea and concept is that if you have something that's run down and dilapidated, it's a broken window. So if somebody sees a window and it's neglected, well, they throw a rock through it and it breaks the window. And then the next person comes down and says, oh, well, that window's broken. I can break this window. So it kind of starts moving on and on and on through the process. Well, the next thing you know, if you go back to crack days, during that time, you saw that condemned houses were used for drug houses or squatters. And that's the big thing that we've seen. And some of the condemnations that Captain Fletcher and Lieutenant Edrick Smith, they both worked together doing that. We've recovered where homeless people have stolen brand new generators and brought into these condemned structures in order to try and get electricity inside of them. You know, we've condemned a lot of stolen property that we have sitting waiting for people to come back and claim that we have no idea where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, it's while it improves the look of the community, it also takes out the criminal element inside that community for them to be able to do further criminal damage.
Yeah, well, definitely a safety, benefit.
Yeah, and so appreciate that comment to reinforce the reasoning why we do these condemnations. We also wanted to invite you in this morning to talk about storm preparedness, first responders, actions, and what you guys are doing. We had State Trooper Casey Wallace call in the first hour, talk about the state troops' preparation. What is Pineville Police Department doing, and what are you advising the citizens in preparation for the storm?
So, our message kind of depends upon what that cone's doing and what that path actually does. And what I looked at it, the 5 a.m. briefing this morning was up for it, is that we've moved a little bit more eastward on that track, so it's kind of hitting for us for the outer band. So our task is moving from not necessarily storm preparedness and waiting for the storm to come here, but if there is a mass evacuation from Grand Isle, Morgan City, Thibodeau, down to Bayou area to come up here, because we have I-49, even though it's just right across the river, we have 167, 165 that run through the city. So we have to be prepared for that influx of traffic if it does come for a mass evacuation from South Louisiana. So that's kind of our task this morning. We'll have our staff meeting at 10 o'clock this morning, a problem-solving meeting with the complete staff this morning. Those are the things that we'll look at and kind of address on that end. You know, for some reason, if the 10 o'clock meeting, the track starts to move back more west a little bit, then we'll kind of retool and refocus again to think about things like sandbag distribution. People, one of the things we always see is gas stations. People will pound a gas station. They will line up at a gas station and cause mass chaos of just getting in and out of the pump. So we have a couple stations that we typically have that issue at. So if that does occur, then we'll put extra officers out or uniform presence to make sure all that kind of stays in line and peaceful as much as it can.
Excellent. So, Chief Basco, tonight, city council meeting. I know you have an officer that you're bringing before the council for some special recognition. Tell us about that.
Yes, ma'am. So, Patrolman Denzel Bradley will be recognized tonight for a life-saving award. His sergeant, Sergeant Jared Bennett, put it in for an incident that happened about a month and a half ago. He responded to a consumer crisis call. Somebody that was needing assistance had attempted suicide by cutting themselves, a pretty severe laceration. We issue tourniquets that you see that officers mainly keep on them in case they're shot, they're wounded. That's one of the things they learn in the police academy and some future field training that, they do, is that if they're in that position, God forbid it happens, they can administer first aid to themselves or to a fellow officer to try and do that. It comes out of combat, you know, combat medic situations where at one time years ago it was like, no tourniquets, you're going to kill the leg or whatever. Well, through, you hate to see it or hear it, but through war and through the Middle East conflicts, the different ones, they figured out that's a lot, that's a life-saving measure. So he was able to use his tourniquet on this gentleman, saved his life. He was able to go to the hospital, get recovered, and get the proper care that he needed, or aftercare that he needed, so live another day.
Wow. Absolutely. That's going to be a wonderful moment for you all tonight. Well, let's take our next break. When we come back, we'll hear more about the Fraternal Order of Police Convention that you were a part of last week. More Talk Back when we return.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. Small business owners are not convinced the economy is improving. A measure of small business optimism declined in August by the most in more than 2 years as earnings tumbled and firms grew more downbeat about prospects for sales in the economy. The decline in the National Federation of Independent Business Optimism Index erased nearly half the advance over the previous 4 months. Many Americans carry credit card debt. According to WalletHub, the collective tab sits at nearly $1.3 trillion, but that total isn't distributed evenly, as some states rank higher in credit card debt than others. California tops the list for total credit card debt at nearly $163 billion, but per household, folks in Hawaii and Alaska are both deeper in debt. On Wall Street, after gains for stocks yesterday, stock futures are pointing higher ahead of the opening bell. Steve Potusk, Bloomberg Radio.
It's the ultimate bourbon tasting competition, Battle of the Bourbon, and your chance to drink, vote, and win. Here's how. 10 local restaurants have crafted unique bourbon experiences for you to savor. See all the restaurants at alexandriapinevillela.com/battleofthebourbon. Visit each restaurant. Enjoy their carefully crafted bourbon cocktails. Pay attention to the taste, the savor, and the overall experience. Then cast your vote for the restaurant that impressed you most. Online at alexandriapinevillela.com/battleofthebourbon. Participants who have visited a restaurant and voted will periodically win prizes, including gift cards, prize packs, experiences, and more. The Battle of the Bourbon competition ends September 30th, and the winning restaurant will be announced October 1st. Plus, tag the restaurants and share your experience at hashtag BourbonBattleSenlaw to win more prizes for best photos. That's alexandriapinevillela.com/battleofthebourbon. And may the best bourbon experience win.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
I plan to rearrange my closet, but I stopped after picking the clothes up off the floor.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel's award-winning language learning app will help you start speaking another language. Start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks.
Comment tu t'appelles?
Comment tu t'appelles? Vous êtes où?
Vous êtes où?
Babbel's bite-sized lessons make it easy to learn words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
how's your French going?
You can say,
Babbel est amusant et facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue. Et cela ne prend que 15 minutes par jour.
When you want to really learn another language, it starts with Babbel. Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Cloudy skies with rain developing throughout the day today. 78 degrees will do it for the afternoon high. A chance of rain, about a 60% chance. Now, we'll be up to a 90% chance of rain overnight. Steady rainfall, 72 should do it for the overnight low, and the potential of some heavy rainfall there as well. Then tropical conditions likely tomorrow, periods of rain and very windy at times. Afternoon highs near 75, the potential of 2 to 3 inches of rain. Currently 71 degrees in Senla. Talk Back is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. The best of Talkback is back Saturday mornings, 8 to 10, right here on KSYL. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Talk Back on Pineville, where we're joined in the studio with Councilman Tom Boucher and Police Chief Daryl Basco, who recently attended the Fraternal Order of Police National Convention in his role as president of the Louisiana Fraternal Police. And, Chief, we would love to hear some of your perspectives on that experience that you had, because y'all, amongst all the other business that FOP does, you also got to hear from one of the candidates. Did both candidates for president show up, or just one?
Just one. So I'll... Just a couple of things. So it was the it was a 4-day meeting. A couple of different things happened. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina. The state presidents meet on a Thursday. That's of what I was as far as that. And then 2 days, the National Board of Trustees meets, which I'm a national committee chairman, but on the outside part of that. The biggest thing that came out of it was that the organization in itself made an endorsement for president. And one of the things that we get beat up from both sides, and it depends how it is the process, but our process is completely different from any other organization. Most organizations, if they do an endorsement, it's by an executive board or some select committee with inside the organization. Ours is completely different. And you know, even as a state president, every once in a while I'll have a politician, state representative, senator, whoever it may be, will reach out to me and say, hey, we'd like to get your endorsement. And I explain them, this is the process. And they're like, yeah, but I need it tomorrow. Well, I'm sorry, our process just doesn't allow it. So for the process for it to happen, every person that is a member of the Fraternal Order of Police nationwide actually gets a vote in the process. And what happens is that, so the national organization, their legislative committee sends out a questionnaire that are specific to things that are important to our organization in regards to law enforcement. Went out to all three candidates. One, RFK Jr., dropped out, so never completed the questionnaire. So we had two from the other, the Democrat and Republican candidate. Those questionnaires were sent out, filtered down, and were sent. So in Louisiana, those were sent to every local lodge, which there's 39 of them across the state of Louisiana. And that local lodge is responsible for filtering that information down into its local membership. We give a certain, I think it was 28 days that we gave in Louisiana for those local lodge members to be able to look at the questionnaires, and for them to instruct their local lodge trustee on how they wanted to make an endorsement, or who they wanted to endorse, or did they not want to endorse, or what their stance was. Those local lodge trustees report it back to the state. Everybody gets one vote. Doesn't matter if you're from Greenwood, Louisiana, that has 9 people in a local lodge, or Crescent City Lodge number 2, which is New Orleans, that has a little north of 1,200. Everybody gets one vote. Those votes go up, and whoever wins or whatever is determined from there goes to our national trustee, who represents Louisiana on the national board. He went to Charlotte. They polled every trustee. The vote came out, I forgot the exact number, 40-some-odd for Donald Trump. And then there were 2 states, well, Washington, D.C., which is we consider a state in its own, and Maryland, both gave no endorsement. And winner take all, 2/3. We require a 2/3 vote for a trustee, so it's not 50+1. Mm-hmm. So the threshold is even higher, that it has to be 2/3 vote for that endorsement to happen. And that's what came out of the meeting whenever it came around.
Well, that's very interesting to hear that process. So that may mean some years there's no endorsement given if you don't get the 2/3.
Probably. I've been around in the Fraternal Order of Police and engaged in some part for probably 22 years, I would guess. And I've seen years that we didn't make an endorsement, that we looked at both candidates and said, no, you know, from your answers for the questionnaire, we really don't have faith. Maybe that's a bad word, but we really didn't have faith that either one of you deserve the endorsement of law enforcement and you know, throughout the United States. And there was always a thing, well, you don't represent everybody. And, you know, I get that. It depends what you look at or where you get your numbers. Some people say there's about 600,000, between 500,000 and 600,000 law enforcement officers throughout the United States. We have 377,000 members throughout the United States.
Wow.
So we're the top of the heap. We're the biggest, largest, oldest law enforcement organization in the world, in the United States.
How long have you been president of the Louisiana Fraternal Order of Police?
16 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
16 years. There's a running joke there between me. Our national president is from St. Charles, Louisiana.
Hmm.
He was retired as a captain in St. Charles. He's in his second term for a national president. And the way our constitution and bylaws are is that we only the immediate past president serves on our board for Louisiana. And I always start off any speech I give in front of the national that I'm the only one in the room that has the power to kick him off. Because if I decide not to run, I become the immediate past president and he's gone. So
that's fine. Well, Chief, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to play musical chairs here during this break. And thank you for being here and bring in Eden Oglethorpe, the new director of the Pineville Animal Center. And right after this break.
Like to be part of Talk Back? Well, pick up the phone and call the BOM Bank Talk Line at 442-8255. That's 442-TALK.
Did you know your skin is the largest organ of your body?
Huh?
That's why you should shower with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash instead of plain old bar soap. Love your skin by super hydrating it with vitamin B3 and glorious notes of vanilla and shea. Did you know that my super hydrated skin is the second largest organ of my body? The first is my heart. Old Spice. Men have skin, too. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. 24/7 renewing moisture. With daily use.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
You hear that sound? That's someone spreading an illness in your facility. Don't worry. Janny King, the king of clean, can help. For over 35 years, we've been cleaning and disinfecting office buildings, schools, churches, and even hospitals. Trust us to keep your employees safe, healthy, and at work this cold and flu season. To learn more about how our local cleaning experts can help you, visit JannyKingCleans.com. That's JannyKingCleans.com.
Janny King, the king of clean.
Have you ever noticed how mysterious stains are?
Oh, how did a stain get on my new blouse?
You got me.
I didn't do it.
Isn't it good to know there's a professional dry cleaning company in town with service you can depend on?
Take it to Craig.
Craig's will get it out.
At Craig's Cleaners, tough stains are no problem. Finicky hard to clean fabrics are no problem either. Just dependable, professional dry cleaning. Craig's Cleaners, 1746 Elliott Street, 1305 Metro Drive, or Highway 28 East at the Pineville Expressway.
In Senlaw, keeping your lawn looking great can be a real challenge. And that's why folks have been choosing our locally owned and operated company, Promo Fencing and Lawn Care. Promo can also be your local choice for fence installation and new landscape installs. And they're real pros about it, too, offering free estimates and financing for those bigger jobs, residential or commercial. Bring your vision to life with Promo Fencing and Lawn Care. Call 318-452-6265.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
TalkBack is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. Let's get back to the show. It's TalkBack on KSYL.
Welcome back to Talk Back on Pineville. Sandra and Nathan here with you regularly Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I got Tom Boucher in here, councilman for the city of Pineville, and we're excited to have Eden Oglethorpe, who was introduced on Facebook yesterday in her new role of 1 week now being the animal supervisor at the Pineville Animal Shelter Center. I forget.
Pine Valley Animal Control.
Control, thank you. I get it. I knew there was a C in there, but center didn't sound right. So, and I think one of the things that, by the way, welcome, Eden. We're glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming over. So I think one of the things that excited me, I mentioned earlier in the show when we were kind of promoing this, and I said that I was up at City Hall one day and, you know, saw you sitting there. I thought you were just a citizen coming in to meet. I didn't know, you know, who you were. I said hello and went on about my way. And then the next week I come in and I get to meet, oh, here's the newest employee. And got to hear about, you know, your experience as a vet tech over the years. Worked with Doc Turner, who was one of my favorites. I love Doc Turner.
He was great.
At Turner Animal Clinic. And then you actually worked in the building that the Pineville Animal Control is located for many years, back when it was Senla Animal Clinic.
That's correct. We remodeled that entire building. So whenever I started, it was a very small clinic.
Yeah.
And then over the 6 years, we expanded it. And it's a great facility for Pineville Animal Control right now.
Well, it really is. I mean, it's got a cat room. It's got the dog rooms. It's even got some for larger animals if you have to have them. And I know that, you know, your many years of service to, you know, as in the veterinary assistant field, vet tech field, and your natural just love for animals, you know, causes you to have a passion to do what you're doing. What drew you to apply for the job?
I seen that there was a need in the city of Pineville for instruction.
Yeah.
And compassion. And we needed to ensure that all the animals were taken care of, as well as the people. And that's the reason that I went in to Rich to see what we can do about that.
So I know it's a difficult job. I mean, when you're dealing with distressed animals, sometimes you get call outs to go and you know, there's a raccoon under my house, or, you know, have you ever had any snake calls?
No, unfortunately. I hope we do not, but if we do, we'll handle it to the best of our ability.
I just got a picture from my wife that there's a big old snake by the side door, so I'm going to tell her to give you a call.
No, please don't. Please,
you got
don't.
That's this
morning.
I hope.
Just this morning.
Really? Did you really?
Yeah. I
wonder.
I just
the
showed the picture to Celeste Mobley, who's in here.
That's funny. That's great.
Oh, goodness gracious. A snake call. I do have some great animal control officers that are really, really trained that can handle snakes for us.
That's wonderful. I got people, right?
That's correct.
I'll send my people. Well, and you do have a great staff over there, and we appreciate what they do. One of the things that I think is really critical to talk about is, you know, there are so many animals, and you guys are big into adoption and trying to get these animals. If they truly are stray, they truly don't have a home, they haven't been microchipped, there's no way to trace back to where they came from, you know, trying to find a home for them. So what is the process like for that?
Right now, if we have a dog come in, we put them on a mandatory 72-hour state law hold.
And that's so that the owner can reclaim them?
That's right. If a dog is found as a stray, not microchipped, we scan it whenever it comes in. If it's not microchipped, no one, we advertise on our Facebook page, Pineville Animal Control. I would like for everybody to go and like that page, mm-hmm. because it's very important in the community. So that way, if they see a dog and they recognize the animal, they can call in and say, hey, look, I think it belongs here at this address. So we'll send someone out, we'll check it out, and go from there. But if after that 72 hours, no one has claimed that animal and it's not been microchipped, then we start our work with photographs, vetting, and then from there, we put them for adoption on our local Pineville Animal Control page. And then we'll start working with different rescue organizations and see if we can get them tagged by a rescue and get them transported.
Okay.
And get them out of the shelter.
Well, and I was just going to say, I think that that's the process that has turned the Pineville Animal Shelter into a no-kill shelter, as opposed to what it was in the past.
We're working to get there, yes. Right. We have a small percentage that has to be increased from last year's numbers to get us to that percentage, but that's what we're working towards.
So that's a great goal. And you mentioned dogs, but it's cats as well, right?
Dogs and cats, yes. We have a lot of kittens that come in, the same process. You know, we attempt to adopt them out locally. We offer a trap, neuter, and release program to the public that we have available. If you have colonies of cats or anything like that, please give us a call at Pineville Animal Control. We do have a trap, neuter, release program where we will pick your animal up. We will take it, have it altered where we can't have any more babies, and we will rabies vaccinate it, we will ear tip it, and we can put it back in the colony that it came from.
Wow. I'll be honest, I didn't know about that. So that's a really great piece of news, and that citizens maybe who... they definitely need to know that that's an availability for you.
Quick question, too. Is part of the 72-hour hold to make sure that the animal is not sick? That way, if it is, there's a separate area to be able to hold sick animals?
We do. We have a small isolation area that was not utilized before, but now that I am in there, we are utilizing that to the best of our ability. If we have anything come off the streets that presents with any ailments, we're going to isolate that animal, put it into a separate facility from our well animals that have been there with us for a while, and then we also wear the proper PPE when going in and dealing with possible sick animals. We also do all the testing and things like that now at the shelter.
Very good. I know we need to take a break, and we'll let some of our sponsors tell you about their information. We'll come back more with Eden Oglethorpe of the Pymal Animal Control.
If you'd like to take part in our show today, call the BOM Bank studio line at 442-8255. That's 442-TALK. BOM Bank, now with locations in Alexandria, Pineville, and Woodworth.
Are you ready to experience automotive luxury? Look no further than Walker Mercedes-Benz and BMW. From the Mercedes-Benz C-Class to the luxurious GLS SUV, indulge in comfort and sophistication. Or unleash the thrill of the road with BMW, renowned for its beauty and performance. Whether it's the 3 Series or the X5, every BMW embodies the ultimate driving experience. Visit Walker on Coliseum Boulevard or browse online at walkerautomotive.com for your dream car experience.
Attention all real estate agents, property owners, and lenders. When you or a client needs a real estate attorney, call the professionals at Thompson Law Firm. Whether the legal matter is basic or complex, the Thompson Law Firm can accurately guide you or your client to a successful outcome. That's why numerous industry professionals have trusted the Thompson Law Firm for years. They also handle estate planning, successions, and business law. Call them at 473-0052. I am a paid non-client attorney spokesperson.
Hey, it's Matt Moscona inviting you to join us for Tuesday's AFR, powered by Sunshine, your hometown John Deere dealer in Louisiana. Shay Dixon stops by for his weekly recruiting chat, and we'll talk to Sean Salisbury, 3 to 6. Alexandria's 94.7 ESPN.
What if I told you there's one airport in the world, a large one, that has never lost a single piece of passenger luggage in 30 years? Listen up, you could win a bar bet with this one. From America's number one travel radio show, this is your RM World Travel Minute, and I'm Rudy Maxa. It's Kansai International Airport in Japan, and it's no small airport. It serves about 7 million people in the nearby cities of Osaka, Kobe, and Kyoto. It was opened in 1994 on an artificial island in Osaka Bay, and the airport is darn proud of its perfect record. Every passenger's bags have gone to the right destination for 3 decades. What can you do to lessen the chances of a checked bag of yours never going astray? First, look to see if the correct 3-letter airport code is on the luggage tag affixed to your luggage, and check the flight number, too. Some airlines stop accepting bags 30 or 45 minutes or longer before departure, so don't count on arriving to check your bag too close to that cutoff time. You can call the airline to learn their rules that can differ at different airports. You'll find more travel info at armworldtravel.com.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
TalkBack is sponsored by Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. There's nothing quite like the unparalleled quality and style with Walker, Mercedes, and BMW. The best of TalkBack is back Saturday mornings 8 to 10 right here on KSYL. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, I double-dipped, but another example of how Pineville's stepping forward. These numbers I gave to you one time once before, they're from the city attorney's office that I got. And in 2022, there was 2,825 dogs and cats euthanized, and in 2023, there was 2,720. Lafayette is a no-kill city, and so is Beaumont, Texas. So I applaud you. Too bad Alexandria can't follow through. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that is the goal, Eden. I mean, you can't love animals and not want to work towards being a no-kill shelter.
I have a very large passion for every single animal that comes through those doors. And I will network them to the best of my ability to make sure that we get them out and alive. Yeah. Out alive is very, very important to me.
Well, over the years of being on the council, I think Councilman Boucher and I could say, I don't know if there's a more passionate group than animal lovers. They are very passionate, very outspoken, and I know you're one of those. So it's great to have you leading as we look at, you know, you've only got a couple of minutes left. You had a couple of points you wanted to hit on, and I wanted to ask you, how can people get involved with the animal shelter, the animal control center?
We need the help of the community. At the end of the day, this is very much community-based. We need, if you can't adopt, look into fostering. We do have an amazing foster program that I'm bettering daily. We now offer a volunteer program where we did not have that before. And even down to sharing our post on Pineville Animal Control Facebook page. That's very important to get the word out as to what animals we do have in the shelter. And you never know who can see on your Facebook page other animals and that they could possibly want them in their family.
You told us a story off air about something last week. There was an animal that was found in a certain area, and you actually reached out to the postman.
That's correct. We had two dogs that came in with no microchips, and that was picked up by one of our animal control officers. And we knew that these dogs, they were in really great shape. We knew they belonged to someone. So we reached out to the United States Postal Service, and we were able to reunite those two dogs with their owner.
That's amazing. That just the going to that extra mile of reaching out and doing that, that's absolutely wonderful. Tell me more about what fostering is. That's something new to a lot of people, probably.
The foster program is really big. This gets an animal out of the shelter into a home environment. This gets them to where they can be socialized. They get used to the home environment, even work on some housebreaking if we need that. And we will advertise them as ready to adopt through our shelter. We will get them through the medical process of vaccinating, heartworm testing, and making sure that dog is healthy and ready for a home. So what, as a foster, you come into the shelter, you'll sign up with us, you'll bring the dog in, and we'll do all of its medical care. At certain times, we try to do our best to even provide down to the dog food. Mm. And that's just to get these dogs out of the shelter until we can find them their forever family.
That's simply amazing, the extra lengths that you're going to. What are some other things about the Pineville Animal Control that you would like the citizens to know about?
Volunteer.
Okay.
That is very new. It's something that we've brought in recently, within the last week or so. Please come by the shelter. Please come by and sign our volunteer form. We can have you walking dogs. We can have you playing with dogs. We can have pictures taken. We can have the more community that we have inside the shelter, the better that we will be, because this cannot be done with one person. It takes time, and it takes a group in the community.
Well, you know, and the animals need the volunteers to be there, because they need that human interaction as well. I mean, you can just look at some videos sometimes, and you see the animals that are, for lack of a better term, you know, they're captured, they're brought in, and they're, you know, you can just see how sad they are because they don't have that interaction. So to have a volunteer coming in and be able to talk to the dog and get comfortable with the dog, that just makes the dog a lot more viable to be rescued by a citizen who's looking for an animal. And we ourselves have really only had rescue animals.
Right.
And they make some of the best pets because they are so grateful for somebody coming in and taking them home.
That's correct.
Absolutely. And caller, I apologize, we didn't get to you here in the last 30 seconds of the show. So call back tomorrow if you would like. But again, want to thank Eden Oglethorpe, Tom Boucher for being in the studio with us today. Nathan, always good to have you. And tomorrow we'll be back to Alan Sanders.
I can't wait to hear what y'all got to talk about the debate.
Oh, debate.
Oh, man.
I hope the storm doesn't screw that up.
Must listen to radio tomorrow.
Yes, as long as we can get here. All right. Well, everyone stay safe out there. Stay weather alert. And we'll see you back here tomorrow.
You've been listening to Talk Back. The opinions expressed were those of the hosts and callers, and not necessarily those of Senlaw Broadcasting.
FM 104.9, AM 970, KSYL, and KRRV 100.3 HD3, Alexandria.
It's 9 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored